We'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. I saw Alexander. Alexander, would you mind doing the Pledge of Allegiance? Thank you, sir.
Sure. All right, everyone. Right hand over your heart. Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Thank you for that. We'll go ahead and get our council roll call.
John Burek.
Here.
Eric Twain.
Present.
Alexis Federico. Alexander Gonzalez.
Present.
Alex Maslin. Robert McDonald.
Muted.
Muted.
Marcos Villa. And Stephanie Wade.
Present.
For the record, Desiree, Alexis is out of town for a funeral. Okay, so I'm assuming that would be count as excused. All right, for a dad. All right. Okay, just point of information. That's all.
Yep, I was going to make that comment, but thank you, Bobby. All right.
You missed me, Elena Randall.
Oh no, Elena, the roll call is for the RFAC members.
Okay. Sorry, yeah. I didn't know how that worked.
It's okay.
Thanks. That's all right. We'll go into public comment. Item 4. Do we have anything for public comment?
We did not receive any requests in advance, and there are no members of the public present.
All right, we'll move right into 5, our action items. AB 361. Make a motion that we are we within the 30-day window before I make that motion?
At this point, we are.
Oh, but this is our last meeting of the year.
Right. So I did do the math, and we would have to meet again if we want to continue the virtual for January. We have to meet for a special on or before December 9th. So December 7th would be that Wednesday, but it would be up to the chair at that point. But we would have to meet. If we vote today and we don't meet again in December, we're still in person on January.
Okay. I'll go ahead and make a motion that we continue our meetings in Zoom.
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? All right. Let's go ahead and get a vote.
John Burek.
Aye.
Eric Dwayne.
Aye.
Alexis Federico is absent. Alexander Gonzalez.
Aye.
Alex Maslin.
Aye.
Robert McDonald.
Aye.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Aye. Am I still
Bobby, muted? You're both. I think you're not muted, but we can't hear you.
I'll scream. Yay. Oh, aye.
Thank you. Marcos Villa. And Stephanie Wade.
Aye.
That is majority chair.
All right, fantastic. Motion carries. We'll go ahead and move into item 5.2, election of 2023 Orange County Veterans Advisory Council officers. So at this point, we'll take, I'll take a nomination for chair for OCVAC. Any nominations from the floor? You can also self-nominate if you are interested. Nominations for chair.
Mr. Chair, I nominate Stephanie Wade for chair.
Very good. Stephanie, do you accept?
I do.
All right. Fantastic. Are there any other nominations for chair? All right. Are there any nominations for vice chair? Nominations for vice chair?
I nominate Alexander Gonzalez.
Alexander, do you accept?
Yes, I do.
All right. Are there any other nominations for vice chair? Very well. Then per our bylaws, we don't need a vote. That means that Stephanie Wade is the chair and Alexander Gonzalez is the vice chair. Congratulations.
I'm sorry. I think we still need a vote, right?
Yeah, we do need a vote. Yeah. It does require a vote.
Okay, I was just reading the bylaws and it said there were no additional nominations.
They made some changes because we were supposed to have a nominating committee, but if you go back and look at the new bylaws, we still haven't gotten yet because they're still in red. It says that they eliminated that. So,
we definitely can send that the bylaws were approved by the Board of Supervisors in July. Yeah. So we will send that copy out to the whole council, so you all have them. And just for the record, we had a motion by Bobby for chair and a motion by Stephanie for vice chair. We will need a second to each of those, and then Desiree can call the roll call.
Whoa. I made a nomination for the chair for Stephanie.
Oh, that wasn't a motion.
Oh, it was a motion. Yeah, I made a motion for Stephanie to be chair. Okay, not for me to be chair. I mean, I've done
that. Right. Bobby motioned for Stephanie. And I have Stephanie motioning for Alexander Gonzalez. So I'll need a second to each of those. And then Desiree can call the roll call.
I'll second both.
Okay, perfect. So seconded by Chair Duane. And then Desiree will call roll call.
John Burek.
Aye.
Eric Duane.
Aye.
Alexis Federico is absent. Alexander Gonzalez.
Aye.
Alex Maslin.
Aye.
Robert McDonald.
Aye.
Marcos Villa is absent. Stephanie Wade.
Aye.
And that is majority chair.
All right, so that's for both positions, right?
Yep, we're good. Thank you.
Fantastic. We'll go ahead and move to item number 6, presentation, PACT Act. We have Nancy Jones with us today. Stephanie, would you like to introduce Nancy?
Nancy is fantastic. And a lifelong member of our Marine Corps family, but works for Veterans Legal Institute as an attorney. We're very blessed that she's actually in Orange County at the moment. But she has a meeting, so I'm going to keep this short. She has to run something else. She has a presentation for us on, the latest legislation regarding burn pits, but also a lot of the other toxic exposures that we should be very aware of and be able to help communicate. Nancy?
Muted? Sorry, I'm unmuted. So should I share my screen for the slides? Would that be easiest? All right, let me start sharing. All right, I'm getting there. Okay, so can you guys see it? Looks like you can see it twice. Nope, there we go. Okay, so in August of 2022, if you are all aware, they enacted the PACT Act, which actually stands for Promise to Address Comprehensive Toxics Act. As usual, we all like acronyms, so they had to come up with a really big long one. It's difficult to remember, but it's named after Sergeant First Class Heath Robinson, who lost a battle to cancer after burn pit exposure. And so how many here, I assume everybody here is a veteran on this call, is that correct? Okay, so I will move whether or not you, if you have a disability claim or not, I'm gonna cover that a little bit, just because it helps explain the importance of the PACT Act and what it does. Basically, if you're filing a claim for disability, you have to have a current diagnosis of a condition or an injury. There must be an in-service incident that led to that injury or that condition. And there must be a relationship or a nexus between the in-service incident and the current disability. That's basically how the VA requires you to prove your claim for service connection. And the standard on that nexus is at least as likely as not. So how does the PACT Act actually help veterans with their VA benefits? And the act makes it easier for veterans to prove their claims for service-connected compensation. Basically, the law concedes that nexus, and it does it in two different ways. It concedes exposure, and it concedes the condition. And I'll go into that a little bit further on, but it basically means the veteran doesn't need a medical opinion and doesn't have to provide other evidence to support their claim, hopefully streamlining and expediting a lot of these claims. So who's a toxic exposed veteran? A veteran, and they've And this is broken down by their categories, but they went back and they looked at some of our atomic testing that was done in the 50s, and they expanded areas there and determined some of those veterans are now toxic exposed to atomic testing. Veterans who serve in Vietnam are obviously considered toxic exposed to Agent Orange. That's the most obvious one, I think, that everybody's familiar with, but they've expanded that. So they've added other areas, Laos, Thailand, Cambodia, Guam, and different time periods for exposure. So that basically got bigger also under the PACT Act. And the biggest expansion was for our veterans who served in theaters of war after 1990 and 2001, our post 9/11 veterans. They actually added a whole category of what we call burn pit exposure. And I'll get into that a little bit more as we go into the next slides. And so I know a lot of information, but I wanted to cut and paste for a couple of reasons. They have actually, pursuant to the legislation, actually put a code in place. And so they've come up with this covered veteran term now. And you can see there's time limits, there's locations, and all these locations are what we call presumed locations. It means if you serve there, you are presumed to have been exposed to that toxin. So you don't have to prove anymore that your barracks was located next to a burn pit. That was kind of the previous standard. It just basically means you're there, you're exposed. And another important thing here is if you look at it, they talk about the naval and airspace. I'm not sure if you're familiar with what happened with our Navy veterans after the Vietnam War. A lot of them off the coast struggled for years to prove that they had also had exposure. This already covers that almost immediately. And just to note that it doesn't mean these are all added together. So after 2001, they've added those countries to the countries that were already covered, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, and all that. It's not sort of two separate groups of service connection. And again, lots of information, but I did want to put it out there so you have it, because this is the slide that covers the exposure to increased exposure areas to our Vietnam veterans, where they've added the bases in Thailand, and they've added certain areas in Cambodia and Guam. And so it's just to be out for you to be aware of that out there, that this is beneficial to some of our veterans. Okay, so what does it mean if you're a toxic exposed veteran? Do you get benefits? And I do have veterans that come in and ask me that. Hey, I've got these exposures. Well, it's not like an automatic thing. If you are a toxic exposed veteran, the VA is highly recommending that you go in and get screened, and they've instituted screening programs. They'll take a health assessment and they'll check your health for you. And it will help the VA see basically what's happening to those veterans and whether or not different things should be added or maybe even removed from that presumptive list. So that's on the healthcare side. It's also helped them expand healthcare for veterans who may not have otherwise qualified due to length of service or different requirements that they had on the healthcare side. And so the big thing is, if you were exposed and you have certain conditions, and we'll go over those next, but if you have certain conditions, those conditions are deemed to be linked back to that nexus to that exposure of toxins. And what's a burn pit? So if any of you served over there, may have seen these, but these are literally examples of what a burn pit looked like and what they were burning 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for years on end. And inside this were, military ordnance, human waste, animal waste. They shoveled everything and anything they possibly could and burned it to get rid of it. All right, again, lots of information here, but these are conditions that are now presumed to be related to burn pits. And I'll just say on the left-hand side are the cancers, and you can see they've done it broadly, respiratory cancer of any type. gastrointestinal of any type. With our Vietnam veterans, we saw it a little bit more streamlined to certain types of respiratory cancer or certain types of gastro issues or no gastro issues at all. But this has been pretty broad. I think they may be able to, in a number of years, streamline it, maybe remove some of these. But right now, they've conceded that all of these cancers in our younger veterans are related to their burn pit exposure. On the right-hand side are breathing problems, not cancers, but definitely chronic breathing conditions that impact the quality of life. And I'm going to go through this with an example, because this is a veteran that we helped at VLI. She served at Camp Victory in 2004 to 2005. She was stationed on the base the whole time. She was somebody who worked in the kitchens over there, and where she slept and where she worked was right next to that burn pit for an entire year. She went into service as a reservist, took her physical fitness test, was cleared for active duty, deployed for a year, and returned and started noticing that she couldn't climb the stairs without getting short of breath. She couldn't run the vacuum without getting short of breath. Now, when I talk to her, if she's pushing her grocery cart at Costco, she has to stop just so she can have a conversation with me. So she sought medical treatment at the VA, and they diagnosed her with something called granulomatosis disease. So she filed her claim in 2017 for breathing condition related to burn pits. And we provided at that time evidence of where she was at Camp Victory, information about the particulate matter in those burn pits in the form of medical research and medical literature. We provided her own personal statement about her breathing problems before and after service, and the VA still denied her claim. We appealed it all the way to the Board of Veterans Appeals, and we got a favorable decision in 2022, so 5 years later. Now, with the PACT Act, she could file a claim today, show that she was in Iraq in 2004, meeting both the location, the time of service, and then she could show her diagnosis of granulomatosis disease, and she is automatically service-connected for that. And that should be effective, with a year of at least or less of an analysis of her claims file and all that information. So a year to 5 years is a much better result for that veteran. And then included in this toxic water is Camp Lejeune water. And for all of us that are Marines, we all know about Camp Lejeune water. I personally am not a Marine, but my husband did 27 years, so I feel like I get something for that. But anyway, so 53 to 87, anyone stationed there was probably exposed to this water. The VA has been paying benefits for years on this. So it's not like this is anything really new, but it is out there. And the new part of it is something called the Camp Lejeune Justice Act of 2022. And this is where you guys have been seeing, I'm sure, all your commercials wanting you to basically sue the government, and the government's basically allowing themselves to be sued with this act. There's a couple things that you need to do. You're supposed to file a claim. There's a specific claim form with the JAG in Norfolk first. They're going to process them. You're supposed to specify what kind of damages you want. A lot of veterans are having trouble with that part of it. The JAG office can approve it and you get a check. But it's not clear what damages you should ask for or anything like that. So you can hire a lawyer to help you with that. If you go through that JAG process and it's rejected, you can then bring a suit in the District of North Carolina. Attorneys do get fees for this service, hence all those crazy ads. Some of the wording we've heard is up to 40%, but I think that's going to be capped. I would be surprised to see that, but we'll see. It's not been clear since then. And it's important to note at this point, Stephanie and I were talking about this earlier, benefits will be offset by your award. So you get either or, not both. And so that's kind of a strategy question for a veteran. If they're older and they may die tomorrow, unfortunately, it might be better to get this lump sum lawsuit in their favor. But if they're going to need care for the rest of their lives and they're on the younger side, it may be better for them to have the VA benefit. And so what we've seen in the past with regular tort claims is that if you get the award, basically any benefits that you have been granted are, you know, you don't receive them anymore until that tort award has been paid off. So then you can get your benefits reinstated. I mean, that is an option. All right, and that's about it for me. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Nancy?
Adrian, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, let me stop sharing there. All right.
Nancy, so if you elect, if a veteran elects the tort award and mm-hmm. then loses benefits, does that affect your ability to receive non-monetary benefits as a veteran? You know, for example, certain healthcare benefits you would get, or, you know, from the state, like a free parks pass or a college fee waiver, you know, any of these other benefits that aren't monetary.
It does not. So I will caveat this. You will get your healthcare benefits, but the interesting thing in the actual legislation that was written was that healthcare and disability would be offset by the award, the financial value. But I don't know how they would calibrate the financial value of VA healthcare. So I think they wrote that in the legislation, but I don't know if the VA will do that, if that makes sense. But you'll still be entitled to healthcare through the VA and you won't have to pay for it. That's not the way it's worded. It will just be that monthly disability check that you would not receive. And then let's say you pay off the award, you know, you get $50,000 in the award, and after you were 100% disabled veteran and you pay that off in 5 to 10 years and you still go on to live on, you can get your benefit reinstated then and at that level that you were at. So it's just till that award amount is paid off, basically.
Hmm. Nancy, if a veteran's benefits are if they move for the tort, it's only the benefits that were related to the part of the claim that has to do with the water. So for instance, if somebody has, you know, a 30% rating for something that has nothing to do with Camp Lejeune water and a 20% rating for the water, and then they go for the tort, they're only going to lose the 20% while the tort is going through. Is that correct?
I think so, but I will double check on that. Yeah.
And then I want to see if I understand, because this is one of the major things that I was hoping we could be able to tell veterans. The best thing for veterans to do if they want to pursue a claim is to find a good attorney. And the attorneys we're going to have to find should really ideally be, they got to be members of the bar in North Carolina. And you were saying probably the best way to go is to reach out to the North Carolina Bar Association and ask for a list of recommended attorneys.
Yes. Yeah. That's what we're doing in our office. And, you know, partly because it's our policy not to refer if somebody is going to take a percentage. We refer them to the North Carolina Bar. They can, you know, if they just feel like they want X amount of money, they can file at the JAG office on their own and ask for that amount of money and see what they get. We have gotten a lot of questions of, well, how should I value my claim? And we don't know. And I know personal injury attorneys, I think that's all they do all day is kind of do that. And then the other question is the VA has that list of service connection, presumed cancers, basically, that I put up there, or like Parkinson's disease. What's not clear is if you are, if you have something that's not on that list, how they'll address that. I assume you can still file a claim. You'll need medical evidence of some sort that your cancer is related to the Camp Lejeune water, just as you would on the VA side. But I don't know, you know, if they're following a presumptive rule or any of that stuff on the legal side too. And the other thing is for Family members, that's another thing about the Camp Lejeune water that I don't know if people know, is that if your family member was stationed there, obviously they drank the same water as you did. So they're entitled to VA healthcare benefits, but they may not be entitled to VA disability benefits. They get all their healthcare taken through the VA. So contractors and family members that worked on the base but weren't active duty and not entitled to benefits, they can also file for this lawsuit. And so that those are the areas that we're seeing family members or contractors reach out to those organizations because they don't have VA recourse.
And how would they get their medical care related to this? Or they would
they go in, yeah, they need to go in and show that they're related to, if they're a family member, it's only the family members that are getting it, but any dependent or spouse, I think if you were an ex-spouse, but you were stationed there, you go into the VA and you provide that information to them and register.
But I meant, would they then be patients at the VA or would they, where would the medical care be provided?
So it's generally provided at the VA, but I think you can also maybe get CHAMP VA if you're not close to a VA.
Yeah.
That way, the way they do the eligibility there, because obviously not everybody is really close to a VA like we are here in Orange County. So,
Who is here representing the VSO? Anyone?
Unfortunately not. We don't have a VSO rep here today.
Yeah. So I'll try and make sure that would it be possible to share the slides and then maybe we can touch base with the VSO just to make sure that they're hearing this information. I think they probably heard other things, but let's, I'd be perfectly happy to take that on.
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
All right, John, you get your hand up.
Yeah, Nancy. I know there are a lot of reservists after 2001 that were deployed to Homeland Defense missions, like in Operation Noble Eagle. A lot of them went to chemical munitions depots, such as Deseret and Utah. Does PAC Act at all cover those folks that were stationed right around where chemical munitions were being stored and plumes were being released?
So it doesn't cover them yet. It has a lot more money for studies. And so That's the way that Fort McClellan is another example. I don't know if you're familiar with Fort McClellan, but it was located next to the biggest Superfund site in the United States. And the water supposedly leached over. The military has said for years that the water didn't leach over. There's been money set aside specifically for that. There's some talk about jet fuel money in there. Because I know there's been some issues with, you know, people who worked around jet fuel for years. So I'm not specifically sure about Utah, but I'm sure if that's raised enough that some of this research dollars will go to determining, you know, if those things rise to the level of toxic exposure. And so basically they do all the research, both on the cancer side and the particulate side and kind of track the presumption, you know, the prevalence of who's getting what kind of disability and go from there.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Well, if you guys do have any other questions, Stephanie's got my email. Yeah, feel free to reach out. And then of course, obviously you can all reach out to VLI for anything. Any veteran that has any questions, send them over to us. We'll see if we can help.
Thank you so much for your time today, Nancy.
All right, no problem. And I think an ooh-rah's out there for tomorrow for
me. Yelp.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, we'll go ahead and move on to item 7, Executive Committee Report. I don't know what normal procedures are, but I think this is where I'm going to turn over the gavel to Stephanie. If Stephanie, do you have the agenda in front of you?
I'll pull it up.
All right. Sorry, Chair. I'm sorry. The bylaws do state at the end of this meeting. The bylaws do clearly state that.
Of course. No worries. All right.
Sorry, Stephanie.
Nice try, Eric.
I tried. So Executive Committee Report. For some of those who have been here a long time, I think that's pretty much everyone. I was vice chair. And then when David Hahn exited, I assume that role. So it's been a little bit over a year and a half. I just wanted to take the time to thank you all for your support, all the fantastic heavy lifting you've done, that culmination with the Welcome Home event that I know Stephanie Honchoed, Alex Maslin was part. So many folks were part of that event. We did so many amazing things in the last year and a half, the support letter for the LGBTQ plus community and so many other things. Just an amazing year and a half. Thank you all for your support. I don't have anything as far as a report out, but I would like to give Stephanie the opportunity to report out as well if you have anything on your executive.
Well, the first thing is the birthday, as Nancy already said. And I'd be interested if other people have birthday ideas. I'm just celebrating with my daughter and making a cake. That's usually what I do. But then the next thing I'd like to say is that this Saturday, in my day job working for Supervisor Foley, we'll be participating at the Heroes Hall event, dedicating and or the groundbreaking for their new Serenity Garden. And immediately following that, at approximately 12 o'clock, there's going to be an award ceremony that my boss will be hosting, and we'll be honoring 10 veterans of the year from Orange County. And among them is the very deserving Robert McDonald. And I will also point out that I had the privilege of attending the Black Chamber of Commerce gala this year, that really paid tribute to the work that Bobby and a handful of other people did to commemorate the anniversary of the Iron Riders, the Buffalo Soldiers ride on bicycles. And Bobby, how many miles was it? Like 1,000?
41 days, 1,900 miles, Fort Missoula, Montana, all the way to St. Louis, Missouri, 5 states, Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, Nebraska, and Missouri.
So that concludes it for me, but it was as with Bobby emceeing, it was a really great event and very well attended and quite impressive.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. One final parting thought was a little bummed out today that we didn't. The rain escaped, right? Rain went away. And I think there was a bunch of us that were planning on going to that Flag One raising today. I'm looking forward to that getting rescheduled and actually being able to attend a event like that. So that'll be great for the future. Thanks to Bobby and the Valor folks for all their heavy lifting that they've done. Thank goodness we now have a place for veterans in Orange County. Go ahead and move on to item 8, our CalVet link update. Ben Gales.
All right. Thank you, Chairman Duane. Thanks for your service, to this group. For Stephanie, I think that's a great idea to brief the VSO on the presentation. I think particularly that piece on the legal cause of action. I think there's not a lot of community understanding on, that piece of the PACT Act where you actually do need a lawyer, as opposed to others where there's, likely no reason you would give a percentage of your money to a lawyer. So that's a great one to highlight for the VSO and really everyone. With CalVet right now, we have a grant out to provide funding to service providers for veterans in permanent supportive housing and HUD-VASH. So Orange County could be in the run to get a couple million dollars from that. And Richard Owens from Jamboree Housing has been working on that. I'll post the link if anyone wants to read the details of the grant. There's a lot of details in there. And there's also David Lawrence, who's a manager at CalVet. He's on there as well as a contact point. Usually I can be pretty good about explaining CalVet stuff, but there's a lot of little details in this one that needs to go, right to the source. So I'll put that in there if anyone's interested in looking at that in more detail. And actually the deadline on that is December 1st, but our community knows about it. And so hopefully that brings some good help here. And then the other thing I just wanted to mention is that the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative will have a big general meeting on December 7th. At UCI, the general place at the Wedgwood University Club, and it'll be about strategic planning. And so I thought that might be a meeting of particular interest for this group, kind of seeing how the work might line up in terms of the plan of that group and the work of this group. So I just wanted to highlight that. And if you're not registered, you know, you can just Google that, Orange County Veterans Military Families Collaborative. You can register and so you can get the information on meetings that come out. So that's it for me.
Thank you, Ben. We'll move on to item 9, OC for Vets update.
Hello. Let's see, update. Well, there's me here instead of Kevin Alexander now. And I have hired on one new clinician that has started. So she's going to be up and running after today, after her last training, being able to take on more veteran clients so that more people could get some help. And I have a job out for one more at this time for another clinician. Haven't heard back on that yet. And for our collaborative court programs, I'm also in the process of trying to get approved one more position. I have somebody selected, but something happened with the position. So I have to get it approved and then hopefully move forward on that. So we'll have a full team very soon.
All right, thank you for that report. Any questions? Go ahead and move on to item 10, committees, communication standing committee report. I'll take the opportunity, I guess I should have done that under executive committee as well. We had Vladimir was up for a reseat and he declined that. So he has officially resigned from OCVAC. So we have put out a certificate for him for his service on this council. And so just wanted to make you all aware of that. There will be a vacant seat for that. And I believe he was a member at large. So if you know anyone, we're definitely looking for someone to fill that seat. We'll go into communications from the standing committee. That'll be Alex Maslin.
No, I don't have anything to report on that.
All right. What about welcome home event? I know that went down. Stephanie and Alex.
I will most definitely let Stephanie take the rank.
Fantastic.
Well, I would say that just the only follow-up would be that I have a certificate for you, Mr. Chairman, for another few minutes. And it was a very well-attended event. We could have done more, but it's an ongoing program, and we're looking to give a few more awards possibly this weekend.
Is there any idea of possibly doing something like another one or maybe a different iteration of a welcome home?
Yes. And that's what I said. It's an ongoing program. So we have a few people we may be honoring this Saturday. And I think that's the idea is that, that it continues. When there are veterans events, we take that as an opportunity to really welcome home the post 9/11 veterans.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for that. Moving to item 11, council comments. Anyone want to make any council comments? Either unmute your mic or raise your hand.
Bobby?
What?
Well, I think that you might want to go over a couple of the events that you're doing.
The 4,783 events that I know about, yeah. Tomorrow morning at Golden West College, they'll be doing their Veterans Day program, and they'll be saluting the members of the Department of the Navy, the United States Marine Corps, and for their birthday. The one that was founded in a tavern. Hey, you shake your head, man. You know, hey, it's the real deal. It's the truth. I'm very, very fortunate enough to be, I'll be nice and kind because I'm the master of ceremonies. So I'll be kind. And they've got, I think, Justine Cromer, the Air Force, is going to be one of the keynote speakers. Marine Corps group will be doing some performing and stuff there. So they may be packing. So I definitely have to be nice and kind. Friday, there's a bunch of things going on. I know that the city of Anaheim is doing their Veterans Day program. They've asked me to be the MC for that, which will be neat. And then after that program, those of you that if you're hungry after going to other programs, then you can stop by the VFW Post 3173 for a nice steak dinner. That'll be $10, and you can probably feed a family of three off that steak for $10 with and dollar draft beer. City of Tustin will also be doing a Veterans Day program. They have a paver program where you can buy a brick and put some information in. And they will be doing that tomorrow also at 11. So everybody's going to be doing something tomorrow at 11 o'clock, which makes it difficult to do double dip. However, those are the three that I'll have my hands in. On Saturday, definitely at Heroes Hall at 11 o'clock. You know, Stephanie will be there and a few others because we'll be opening up or dedicating or groundbreaking, if you will, the new Serenity Walk that will be an extra extension that we have for Heroes Hall. Those of you that missed it on Monday night, Lawyers for Warriors had a real, real nice program over at for Veterans Legal Institute for Lawyers for Warriors over at Lions Museum. So, and then yesterday, thanks to the Board of Supervisors, myself and Nick Berardino were very, very fortunate to represent the veterans when the Board of Supervisors gave us a proclamation for the green light, which is, you know, on Veterans Day, you're supposed to put a green light in the window to honor our veterans, et cetera. So other than that, that's about all I have.
Thanks for that. Any others? I see that Marcos put the ever popular Bastards Cantina and Downey up there. I guess that's where he'll be. That is going to be absolutely crazy. I'm sure you won't find parking. That place is insane on November 10th. So enjoy.
About it. Looking forward to it.
Be safe.
Mr. Chair, may I add something else?
Yes, sir.
One of the things that I had done, I had also asked the city of Anaheim what they consider bringing in a Marine, a woman Marine veteran, and they did. And unfortunately, she will not be able to make it, but I had it set up for Alexis Federico to be that guest speaker for Friday, trying to keep it in our family and keep it in back and use the veterans and the group of people we have to help build the community and help keep our veterans strong. Thank you.
And thank you for that. Anyone have any other comments?
I'd just like to say that let's all report out on what we did regarding Veterans Day and, you know, at our next meeting, and make sure, try and network with some folks and really communicate with other veterans. You know, it's not the greatest thing that a lot of these meetings are happening without any public participation, you know, and our job is really to advise the supervisors. And so let's really be in contact, available, and connect with folks.
Great idea. Any other comments? Comments from the floor? All right. You all go out there and be safe, stay healthy, enjoy the Marine Corps birthday tomorrow, celebrate this weekend, all the veterans that have served. Thank you for your service, each and every one of you. Thanks for our supporters. You know, those folks out there like OC for Vets and CalVet and, of course, Jenna and Desiree, thank you for supporting us. We really appreciate you. With that, have a great day. Everybody stay safe, and we'll see you at the next meeting.
Thank you. Happy Veterans Day.
Thank you.